Hello, and welcome to Are You Gonna Eat Your Fat? This podcast is a resource dedicated to those struggling with eating disorders. If you are struggling with an eating disorder or know someone who is, maybe a brother, sister, daughter, wife, we want to be here to provide resources and offer hope. I am Dina Lewis, and I'm here with my husband, co-host Brian Lewis. We are not doctors, but we do come with more than 20 years history in dealing with eating disorders. Whether you found us on purpose or by mistake, whatever the case, we hope by the end of this episode you have learned something, or at least, if you are struggling, you do not feel alone. Hi guys, and welcome to Are You Gonna Eat Your Fat? My name is Dina. In this episode, I'm gonna talk a little bit about grief and unresolved grief and how to process it. I was listening to something on YouTube, and they were discussing a family and loss. And this lady mentioned how the individual that she had lost, daughter or son, I can't remember, had not processed a certain type of grief. And they felt like maybe because of that, this is one of the reasons they got into the situation they got into. And when I heard that word, it's going to sound weird, but when I heard the word processed, it just came on like a light bulb, like turned on inside my brain or something. And it rang out to me like, that's the word, Dina, that's it. And the word really grabbed my attention, complete attention at the time. And I was actually cleaning the bathroom at the time. And I just stopped where I was. And I was like, I think this is the word I've been looking for to explain maybe a little bit about what happened and what kind of turned into my eating disorder. Because I've been asked numerous amounts of times, what caused your eating disorder? There is no one thing that caused it, but I can say, I can't be 100% sure, but what it felt like at that time when I was listening to it and I heard the word is that it feels like the loss of my brother when he died of cancer when he was 34 and my parents' divorce when I was 14 manifested into my eating disorder. Or at least it was something that started it. I think it wasn't, obviously I wasn't in my eating disorder at that young of an age, but you know, it was there like planting its seeds kind of in me a little bit. So anyway, I just thought, I hope this isn't a downer one, but I just felt like it's something I needed to share. And I'm hoping it can help not only maybe somebody that's going through the struggling through an eating disorder, but the parents there too, because I know for a fact that my mom was really grieving when I was in my eating disorder because she had already lost one son and she was afraid she was going to lose me. And I know for a fact that when I was in treatment, she told me that she was planning my funeral. And that was a real wake-up call. So with my brother's death, my brother had been a missionary in Papua New Guinea. And he had come home with his wife and child and then had left and gone to Africa for a while and got sick when he was over there, but didn't let any of us know. And then got so sick one day that the doctor said, you need to go right home and fly back to the United States. And when he got home, he was very ill. And we found out that he only had 6 weeks to live. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. So it wasn't if he was going to die. It was more when he was going to die. And my family was in a complete state of survival mode. There was a hospital bed right in the kind of nearby family room. There were nurses. There was hospice people. There were friends, visitors bringing food. It was complete chaos for what seemed like forever. And I, at that time, was probably about 19 years old, and I was taking care of my niece, which of course, was the best job for me to do, but there was nothing I could do for him. And the amount of guilt that came from that was enormous. So the day after he died, everything went back to normal as if nothing had ever happened. The hospital bed went away. Everything went back to, you know, the room looked just like it had looked like beforehand. And there was just no discussion about what had just happened. Now, I understand that, you know, my parents had been through a lot and stuff like that, but me as a kid, you know, there was no, let's get therapy, let's go talk about it, how are you feeling? And that has really stuck with me. And since that time, I've lost both my parents, and it was difficult then, but there's something about when my brother died that I guess it was just unresolved, and he was so young. So there was no closure there. And I think that has really affected me. So I've not really ever processed. We just went on with our life. And then when my parents separated when I was 14, the confusion I faced was that my dad continued to live at home with my mom, sleeping in the same bed for at least the next 10 years. And to a kid, for me, I was thinking, sure, they're going to get back together. They're going to fall in love again. And that was nothing farther from the truth could ever happen. But it confused me, and I had no sense of control over these two things in my life. I couldn't stop my brother from dying. I couldn't get my parents back together, and there was no communication about it. We looked normal, but in the house, we weren't normal. And the same thing with kind of an eating disorder, and that's where I found that there's like similar characteristics between grieving and processing grief as well as an eating disorder, because when you have an eating disorder, people say, oh, we look for that. We make sure our kids don't have that. There's nothing there you can see unless you get to the point where you're so emaciated that you look so sick. But most people with an eating disorder, there's no look. You know, they stay and maintain usually their body weight unless you're severe anorexic. And that's the same thing, I think, with grief sometimes. People don't show and you can't see it in them unless they're, you know, crying all over the place. But that's kind of how my family dealt with it. You know, we deal with it. We don't talk about it. It won't happen. We put it under the rug. And so that was the confusion for me. And that's what kind of led. So instead of processing the emotions, which I didn't even know what my emotions were in grief that I was feeling, I began to engage in unhealthy behaviors to avoid the pain and anger. And I began to turn the pain inward. And I started taking it out on myself. Now, initially, it wasn't that way. It was just being healthier. And I told you my mom had been on diets all the time. But like I said, I think it planted a seed and things weren't resolved. So I've discovered through doing a little research myself that grief and eating disorders have a lot of similar characteristics, like I said. And some of them can be isolation. Isolation plays a huge factor in eating disorders. My brother once wrote me a card saying, you know, isolation doesn't look good on you. Duh. But isolation was like a safe place for me because I wasn't going to be pointed at and questioned, when are you going to get help? And, you know, the anger of family and frustration of family and then the tears and all, it was just easier to be by myself. I didn't have to answer to anyone else. Control. I had no control over my brother's death and I had no control over my parents' divorce. But I wish they had taken care of it in a different way because I don't think they thought of me in that time. Diet gets affected when you're dealing with grief. And I think it's very important to identify your triggers so that you don't return to unhealthy yet familiar ways of coping. Because I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. You know, like we've talked, relapse is a part of recovery. But it's good to have those identified and know what they are when you know you might be going through a difficult time. And I understand how hard that is because when you go through, it's not like you know something's going to happen and here you are, oh, don't forget my triggers, you know, and stuff like that. But just be aware of what your body is feeling, what you're going through, speaking with someone, sharing with someone what you're going through. Anyway, and then the last one I saw was an impact on physical health. Of course, grief does that because people get depressed. They don't go out. They don't exercise. They don't eat well. These are all characteristics and all symptoms of an eating disorder. And so this is when, if you haven't been to treatment yet or before, some of the tools that you could use are like journaling, going to OA meetings, going to AA meetings. Don't let AA let you think that you can't be in there because you can. Sometimes I was told that when I went to an AA meeting, maybe just don't share, but listen. And you can get a lot from just listening to these people speak. Sometimes you get more from just listening than speaking yourself. Journaling. We talked about it, like writing down maybe your, you know, every day what you've done for the day. And if you've gone through a struggle, write it down and write also like how you got through it, because later this might help you, how should I say it, in other circumstances to see, okay, I went through something like this that was triggering and difficult, but look what I did to overcome it. Getting outside, putting on music, calling a sponsor. It's great. You can find sponsors in OA and AA. Find somebody with more recovery than you have that's strong that you can reach out to. I know that my husband and I do this to ourselves, and we've known each other for so long that it's like, you know, something's wrong with the other person and you just keep like, I know something's wrong. Come on, talk about it. And usually I'll speak for myself. I don't want to talk about it. But when I do talk about it, there's a sense of relief that comes from that. The pressure and the weight that I'm carrying on my shoulders goes away. And usually someone can relate to that. And they go, I get it. If you are struggling to find the joy, and just know you're not alone in the process. Grieving doesn't really have an ending. It's a process. It's a journey, just like recovery is. It's not linear. Sometimes you get stuck in different stages of grief. You got the isolation, you have the acceptance, and sometimes you think, okay, I've made it through the first couple stages of grief and stuff, and then you go right back to number one, where you're angry and mad, and it just takes time. And that's kind of something that I struggle with today is finding, taking the time, because when I think of something, I'm like, I want to do it now. I want it to happen today. And sometimes I have to learn a lot of patience. For those of you maybe are not struggling with the loss of a family member, but maybe you're struggling with the loss of a job, which can be very stressful on a family. Maybe you just had a miscarriage. I can relate to that. I've lost 11 babies, but I'm grateful to have 5 healthy children. Very, very difficult, very difficult. And I did blame myself a lot for those. The loss of independence. I know for sure when my mom was ill and my brother were ill, they want to get up and do their own things. They want to be able to go to the bathroom. They want to be able to drive themselves places. And when they have to rely on other people, especially when you're a strong-minded kind of person, that's really difficult. But give yourself the time. Grieving, remember, grieving is not linear. And my mom used to say to me that when she was grieving because she missed the Dina that used to be. And she was hoping and praying that that Dina would come back one day. And, you know, I just wanted to share, I hope it's not a downer or anything like that, but when I heard that word processed, it's important to process your feelings. It's important to get to know what your feelings are and what you're going through and be able to identify those things. Because if you can, I think you can try and resolve some of the situations. And if I had known what some of those things were earlier in my life, I think I would have had a better outcome. Would I have not had the eating disorder? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I'm grateful that I can do this. I'm grateful. I have a lot of gratitude towards a lot of people that have helped me along the way. I just want to ask you guys a favor, is that if you would just share this podcast with everyone you know. We're just a little team here, Brian and I, and we don't have any advertising, but we need to spread the message because every 53 minutes someone dies of an eating disorder and it's serious. And it's important for me to get my voice out there. And so if you guys could just share it with people you know, even with people you don't know, that would be great. I do want to share with you guys that I have reduced the amount of podcast episodes that I've recorded just because of family time and my kids are getting towards the end of school now. So things are even getting busier, but I will probably go back to the 4 episodes a month soon. It's just gotten really busy at my house. So just know I'm still there. If you want to reach out to Brian and I, just email us at areyougonnaeatyourfat@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to just be a sense or source of help. And even if you just need somebody to listen to what you're saying and you're frustrated, let us help you because that's what we want to do. Also, you can hop on my Facebook group. It's Are You Gonna Eat Your Fat? And I think that's about it. So I hope you guys have a great week. And I'm going to close with serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it. You are worth it. Thanks, guys. Have a great one. Bye. Thank you for joining us. If you found this podcast useful or we have given you hope and you want to reach out and contribute, feel free to do so at eatthatfat@gmail.com. That's eatthatfat@gmail.com. Our pledge to you is that every penny that we get in contributions goes to production costs and keeping the lights on. We will not pay ourselves, but anything above and beyond production costs will go to benefit organizations that specialize in eating disorders. Please reach out to us if you need resources or you just need to talk. You are not alone, and there are people who care. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, so work it. You are worth it.